on November the 2nd, 2016. I was going to say it's a day that goes down in infamy, but I won't say that. You'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute. On November 2nd, 2016, at Progressive Field in Cleveland, Ohio, the unimaginable happened. After being down 3-1, the Chicago Cubs beat the Cleveland Indians 3-1 to win the World Series. Now, they broke the longest drought of not winning a World Series championship going all the way back to 1908. And immediately upon winning the 2016 World Series, the Cub fans went across Cub Nation, went wild, as they are wont to do after such a thing. It's only happened once in a long time. Fans that night filled not only the streets around Wrigley Field, but throughout Wrigley Field and several surrounding neighborhoods. Bless the hearts of Cub fans, Nation did not know what to do.
Kill the goat.
Kill the goat or something like that. What to think, and went crazy celebrating their championship team. Now, on November the 4th, people thronged to Chicago for the largest World Series celebration ever. Millions lined the parade route that began at Wrigley Field and headed down Lakeshore Drive and Michigan Avenue there at downtown for a noon rally at Grant Park. Country singer Brett Eldridge, I think it's country singer, Brett Eldridge, led the Cubs faithfulness as singing of their hymn, Go Cubs Go. Now, if Adam were here this morning, I would actually let Adam come up here and sing a stirring rendition of Go Cubs Go. I've heard him sing it before. Now, to Cardinals, we know that that's anathema. You know, but bless their hearts, after 100 and whatever, it'd be 8 years, they were saying, Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. The city of Chicago, that is, wink, wink, estimated 5 million people over there. 5 million, making it one of the top 10 human gatherings in all of history. Wow. Of course, some debate the city of Chicago's estimation of the crowd size that day, namely down from St. Louis way. Nonetheless, Cub fans probably had the goosebumps as they celebrated their championship, as a majority of the rest of the world looked on in abject disbelief. The sound must have been deafening, but emotionally overwhelming, as the crowd cheered the diehard Chicago Cub fans that waited so long to celebrate a World Series victory. I want to tell you today there's a greater victory celebration that's coming. I was going to say when the Cardinals win this year, but I'm not sure about that. That remains a great doubt unless they turn around. No greater, much greater, much greater victory celebration of biblical eternal proportions is going to happen one day soon.
Amen.
When we all gather in heaven, those that trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Revelation 19, after Babylon the Great got defeated last week in our message there, there's going to be a great celebration, a lot of hallelujahs. You notice this morning we sang several hallelujahs, hallelujahs. As the evil empire headed by the Antichrist himself forever defeated, as evil itself will destroy. And today, as we look at the wedding of the Lamb and his bride, the church, as it commences in our reading today, we're going to see in this chapter how we can look forward to heavenly hallelujah wedding celebration. Now, that sounds, what in the world? That sounds kind of weird. Well, there's going to be a lot of people saying hallelujah. We'll talk about what that means. And there's a wedding celebration in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 of chapter 19 on the screen behind me, or if you grab a Bible from the pew in front of you. It says, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, what?
Hallelujah.
I don't think. What was that they shouted?
Hallelujah.
That's right. They shouted hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen.
Hallelujah.
Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting,
hallelujah!
For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then an angel said to me, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, whoa, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For it is a spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. That starts off this great celebration chapter by saying, after this, why after what? Well, it's after what we read last week. After the evil empire is defeated, Babylon is destroyed, and it's going up in smoke. Last week we had a lot of songs of woe is me, doom, despair, and agony on me. The people in this world who refuse to turn to the Lord, they're singing the blues. I'm not talking about B.B. King. I mean, I'm just talking about they're singing the blues. They're woe. But here in heaven, there's a celebration going on. There's a celebration after this great destruction. All the way from chapter 6 through chapter 18, God is raining down judgment on a wicked world that will not, even though he's giving them more and more chances, seven seal judgments, seven bowl judgments, seven trumpets being sounded. And still, it says, each time, they will not repent, but instead they're cursing God. They want to do their own thing no matter what. Now I just looked back there and I saw a Cubs shirt. Wow. I don't know why that appeared to me at that moment, an epiphany. But the people of the world refuse to repent. And it comes to the end. And you say, well, Shouldn't heaven be mourning? No. Folks, God in his great justice and love has given the world more than enough time. Amen. His great grace, and still they won't repent. And now the evil is finally defeated, and a great celebration like you haven't heard before. A great roar. It sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting. Well, sometimes, if you've ever been to any kind of major league NFL or major league baseball game, and when there's a big play, it's like it's deafening. You can hardly even hear. Sometimes I'll show up late to an Auburn Trojans football game, and I know when there's been a big play. It's like there's a great roar over there in Trojan Nation. But imagine millions upon millions of believers in eternity when this old wicked world comes to an end. They are, you know, talk about pumped. Talk about the crowd goes wild. They are celebrating. And they are shouting. Is it okay to shout in church? Well, if it's okay to shout in heaven, I guess it's okay to shout here. Well, shout ahead, you know. Is it, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, we had a shout of amen. But here, you know, whenever you go to a football game, there's always given schools battle cry, go Cats, go. I guess, I mean, that's the Kentucky Wildcats. We don't shout, but I forget what's the Illini battle cry. Fight Illini? I don't know what they shout up there.
Hope to win.
Hope to win. Think of it. Are you a football, basketball? What's the board? Down at Baylor, they go, sick 'em Bears. Great job they go. How they do it? Yeah. Sick 'em Bears. Sick 'em. Oh, no, is it like this? How do they do that? How do they do it? I mean, you're from Baylor. How is it? Sick 'em. Or they go like, is it like this or like that?
No, it's like this.
Oh, it's like this. So shaking the bear ball. But in heaven, yeah, is that hook and horns? Hook and horns? Yeah. We're covering all the bases, you know, here at Swarm. But I want to tell you, after the greatest victory over the evil empire, Babylon the Great, the prostitute, the one that led the world in turning away from God, there is a great shout, and that shout is the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, in unison. There's not going to be anybody saying, what did they say? It's going to be the greatest, clearest roar, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes at big sporting events, like the Super Bowl, they have those, they call them card stunts, where everybody in the crowd has a card, and they get instructions, and at certain times they'll turn the cards over, and it reveals a big picture. At the Daytona 500 a few years back, in 2006, 118,000 fans, I think it's one of the largest, one of these stunts ever done. And they turned the cards over, and it was stars and stripes all around the Daytona 500. Beautiful picture. But in heaven, they're going to be shouting in unison, hallelujah. Now, you might not know that a while ago, when you said hallelujah, mm-hmm. you were speaking Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, in English, that's just a transliteration of a Hebrew word. Hallel means praise, and Yah is short for Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise. Praise. What is praise? It's saying how great thou art, how great you are, God, how awesome you are. You're praising. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is great.
Amen.
He is awesome. And four or five times in this chapter, this large multitude of heaven. You know, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of angels up there. Several hundred million angels at least. 10,000 times 10,000 at least. And then all the saints, all the Christians, those that believe in Christ, they are shouting in unison, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For God, and Mother, and each of these times it says hallelujah, right after that, or soon thereafter that, it uses the word for, F-O-R, for salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Salvation means when somebody saves you, it's like hopefully, don't want to scare any parents, but hopefully nobody's out there drowning in the street or Baptist camp late this week. Don't want to scare Grandma here. I'll be there and she'll not be able to go into the deep water. And he has to swim all the way across the shallow water. It's quite a ways. If he can't do that, ain't happening. But there's two lifeguards on duty and a bunch of adults. And we'll jump in there and save them. That's salvation. It means to save somebody. But what it's talking about here in the Bible is saving us from death and sin and dying and going to hell.
Yes.
Now it says here, they're praising the Lord because salvation belongs to Him.
Amen.
He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place on the cross so that we might be saved. And all the wickedness, in the world, in this, what we're calling this city, Babylon the Great, this final representation of all the wickedness in the world, they're having one final big blowout, and Satan, he's the Antichrist, he's trying to make himself a head honcho, and they get wiped out. The Lord comes in His great power, saves those that put their trust in Him with His great power and glory. Glory means greatness. Glory means greatness. When the Lord shows the whole universe His power, people are going to be amazed at how great God is. We don't have a clue. We say, praise Lord, hallelujah. Lord, You're great. Our God reigns. But we don't have a clue about how great God really is.
Right.
But one day, we're going to praise the Lord. He is so awesome, powerful. He saved us. And then it says, the first four statements, says, for true and just are His judgments. For true and just are His judgments. Well, that's one of my biggest fans back there, LaShawn, right now. For true and just are His judgments. A lot of times people question what this judge says or what this group of judges does. But I tell you, when the Lord comes and He exercises judgment, people will say, there's no doubt God has done the right thing. He's finally brought justice. Justice for all. The entire universe. He comes and brings justice and shows His greatness. On April the 30th, 1945, one of the world's greatest enemies came to the end. You know who that is? Anybody remember what happened on April 30th, 1945? That was the day Hitler died. Adolf Hitler. He committed suicide in his bunker there in Berlin was about to fall. And he, it was Eva Braun or whatever, they met their end. Except for the conspiracy theorists. Some think that Adolf Hitler still lived in Bolivia or Brazil or somewhere down there. But no, he died. A couple weeks later, on May 8, 1945, one of the greatest celebrations the world has ever known broke out called VE Day, Victory in Europe. Millions gathered from Miami to Chicago and L.A. Perhaps the iconic celebration was, of course, there in Times Square, the ticker tape, and everybody was celebrating. Amen. But this celebration celebrates the greatest victory ever. Verse 4 describes how the 24 elders representing God's people of all time, from the Old Testament, New Testament, all time, all of God's people. In chapters 4 through 5, we remember how these 24 elders, they were casting down their golden crowns on the glassy sea or whatever. And they are saying, holy, 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 along with the four living creatures, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, here, they break out in celebration as well. And they say there in verse 4, amen, hallelujah. Now, you know, I think sometimes people, every different denomination has their, you know, their ways of worship. Some are more, you know, stiff and staid, and it's all, you know, a lot of liturgy, a lot of written things that are said, and this and that, and, you know, say, you know, if you're saying from the heart, you mean it from the heart, it's, you know, but sometimes I've seen in community worship services where they come together, when somebody from a church that says amen, and they, what in the world's going on? I didn't see that written down. Amen. Amen. That's another Hebrew word. Boy, I tell you what. Everybody, let's say amen together. One, two, three.
Amen.
Hey, we all just spoke in Hebrew this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen comes from a word that means trust, believe. We believe. We believe it. Or it is so, or let it be, but it is basically a statement, it is true. Yeah. In fact, when Jesus, you know, how often he would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. You know what he's saying in Greek? The Greek just they transliterated, put it in their own letters. In Greek, it has amen, amen. He's saying, when Jesus says truly, truly, or verily, verily, he's saying amen. And he says again, amen, means you can know without a shadow of a doubt that this is true.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I got to let this go, but when the Cubs won last year, it's like, this can't be. But it's true. It's true. You know, it's like you see it, something, you know, it must have seemed like that way back in 1945 when, you know, it says, you know, Hitler's dead or whatever, or the war's over. It's like almost unbelievable. But these elders, these angelic beings, they're saying, it's true. Amen and what? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the real deal. And in Jesus Christ, your life and my life can be amen. Hallelujah. It's true. Praise the Lord. I was talking to somebody the other day. And he told about how a young man recently accepted Christ as Lord and Savior before he died and things. And I said, praise, I mean, that's our hope. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You might be going through difficult times, but the Bible says what? Amen. Hallelujah. Salvation, glory, and power. The answer belongs with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And hallelujah. Heaven shouts hallelujah for great reason. For great reason. One of my favorite movies of all times, is Rocky. I especially love when the crowd is chanting, what? Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Well, heaven is shouting hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Hear the throne. A voice comes from the very throne of God And basically, let loose, you servants of the Lord. Praise our God, all you who, you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Let's break it down. Let's say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6, John says, once again, I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters. Now, I haven't been to Niagara. Has anybody been to Niagara Falls? Is it pretty? Is that water pretty loud there? Can you imagine Niagara Falls times infinite whatever? Loud. He said, John just trying to describe it here. He says, it's like sound of a loud rushing water, but it's a voice, and they're singing, saying, hallelujah. And here's the second for it says, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. And we sang that a while ago when we sang that song, Agnus Dei. I believe Agnus Dei means Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Lamb of God. And what we sang a while ago, we sang this verse. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord our mighty reigns. Thank you. That's what this, we sang a heavenly song this morning, Al. Al was the heavenly choir director this morning. Because the reason we're shouting is that our God reigns. And we sing that longer. We sing what we believe, that our God reigns, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that he reigns eternally. God is on his throne, and we praise him. Folks, it won't be Caesar, it won't be some president, it won't be some earthly king, but it is the Lord God Almighty who's going to reign. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We praise him because he reigns and there's no other. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. This is victory with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is the greatest celebration in history. We come here to another phrase that starts with the word for it. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Let us give him glory.
Amen.
Do you and I do that? Give God glory. I tell you what, I've got a picture yes, Rachel knows what I'm going to say. When the girls won the Saman County basketball tournament, not this last season, the season before, I went wild. Now, Sonny, or well, Wilbur over here knows how wild I can get when I'm watching volleyball. Even this past week, Thursday night, this summer volleyball, I get kind of wound up, don't I? And so does.
Yeah.
But we do. Sometimes I'm just ashamed of myself. Yeah. But when they won, the Jessica girl, we were behind by 5 points with 33 seconds left, or 16, I'll make it even better, 16 seconds left, I think it's 30. And scored a three-pointer, perhaps, and then Emily Jessup scored a two-pointer, puts up by like one. And then they call a timeout with, you know, maybe 5 seconds left or something like that. And Rebecca's at the end line, or is about ready to pass in, out of bounds line. And the girl tries to do a baseball pass, and Becca jumps up and hits the ball, and we win. Well, I tell you what, Rachel, I think somebody took a picture of me in the stands. I'm in the background and stand, and I've got my arms, hopefully no holes underneath each other. I've got my arms up like this, and I'm pumping them big time. You know, I'm shouting loudly. Well, I tell you what, when you find, Victory in Christ is something to shout about.
Amen.
And give God the glory. Here's this last four phrase, starting with, it says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright thing was given her to wear. In heaven, we have a great wedding celebration. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about God's people, the church, as the bride of Christ. Okay, as the bride of Christ. When there's a wedding, one of the greatest celebrations in life in any culture is the wedding celebration. And this is the big illustration. This is the greatest wedding. This is the greatest celebration, the greatest relationship of all, of Jesus Christ and His people, the church, His bride. And, you know, their weddings and marriages in the Old Testament, the Jewish wedding, sometimes, now that's why I understand, you know, I'm not an expert on Jewish weddings, you know. I can't, you know, brag about that. But what I understand, sometimes that parents from different families would make agreements with the other family when their kids were just little tykes, you know, little toddlers, that my daughter's going to marry your son. I didn't get that done yet in our family yet, but I'm on the look. I've been down there to SBU, and I've scouted some of the territory. I'm still searching high and low to see if I have a deal to be made. Wow. I don't know how it's going to go over with Sarah, but there's a deal in the works. No. Now, they would make these agreements, even while the kids were young, and then came a time about a year or so out of the betrothal, a time, a year of testing of just to make sure everything was okay. And then the wedding would come. Now, they would have a big celebration. It would last a week. I'm beginning to think in my mind, how much would that cost? Well, you know, if you're in the deal-making mode, you got to think, what's this going to actually cost me when this comes down, you know? And they'd have, now some royal weddings, I understand, would last weeks. That's a lot of people to feed and house. But it must be done. It must be done. You know? But what would happen is the groom, a lot of times in those days when there's a wedding about to happen, the groom would add on a room to his father's house. If there are several children, you know, sometimes there be a big compound and house, you know, room upon room be added around something, and there'd be like a common courtyard. I know, wouldn't that be great? You live right there by your in-laws, Mark, and just you could chat it up all the time, you know? That would be different, but now. But that's what would happen. Many times the groom, he would go and he would prepare a house or a room. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you so you can be with where I am also.
Amen.
That's the idea. The Lord is preparing a room for you and you and everyone that is trusting Him, a place for you in heaven. And He says, when I come back, it's talking about this wedding, when I come back, I'm going to come and take you so you can be where I am also. If it were not so, I would have told you. Of course, Thomas said, we don't know where He's going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
He says, I'm coming back as this picture. And in our weddings, you know, it's dun, 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 dun. I mean, here comes the bride. But the big deal in this, in their mind, was here comes the groom. Because when the groom comes, when Jesus comes, the party's about ready to get started. Amen?
Amen.
The parable of the 10 virgins, remember, there was 5 of them that had enough oil for the lamps and 5 that were prepared, and 5 that weren't. And you didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. You know, there wasn't any texting ahead saying, he's on his way! Well, you just showed up and you better be ready. There might be somebody seeing the groom coming. They shouted, but and so in that parable, 10 virgins, 5 of them, we better go. They wanted to borrow some oil from the lamps of the others and said, no, you go buy some yourselves. And when it was too late. Jesus is coming again. And there's a big celebration. And here it describes, it's a wedding of Lamb, and the bride has made herself ready. And it says, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Was given to her to wear. Now, I don't know if this is an actual reality show or if it's just some new saying. But sometimes I'll see a post on Facebook that says, I said yes to the dress. Is that a reality show or is that just a saying? She said yes to the dress. Have you heard that saying? Yes, saying yes to the dress. It's like some big event. Saying yes to the dress.
Mark says it a lot. Mark says that a lot.
Mark, I knew I heard it from some famous person saying yes to the dress. What scared me, I was going to say Sarah about our girls, was when I found out how much average wedding dress cost. Average wedding dress cost $1,564. That's scary. I thought prom dresses cost a lot. I'm thankful this coming year I only got one homecoming dress to buy and one prom dress to buy. Now that's a celebration in my mind right there.
It should be sad next year.
I'm already sad. I'm already sad. This, the bride of Christ, God's people, having in fine linen to wear. And go back to Revelations 7. It says there's a great multitude of people from every tribe and language. And guess what? They are all dressed in robes of white. And it says, for they have washed their robes, what? In the blood of the Lamb. Now, I didn't take time to look up the most expensive wedding dress in the world. I was just bowled over by the cost of the average wedding dress. I want to tell you what the saints are dressed in was the most expensive of all time because it was paid for with the blood of Christ, who died for his bride, who gave himself, who gave his all for us on the cross. This is a great victory. This is about life. This is a celebration we can have every day. We don't have to wait till this time to begin celebrating what it means that Jesus Christ died so my sins could be washed away and I can be dressed in fine spiritual linen that represents righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's having a right relationship with God.
Amen.
Wherein I do the right things for the right reasons. I can have the right life. Now, I have seen some wedding dresses that sometimes don't fit. this is not right. But I tell you what, the righteousness of God, when you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, what He has for you fits your life. is right. It's what's all that's right and good and holy and pure. It is the right life that God has for you. You are right spiritually with God, just as if you've never sinned. But it's the right kind of life. It is the life that you can celebrate. Hallelujah. Amen. This is true. Praise the Lord. It's the real deal.
Amen.
And in heaven's going to be a celebration because things are going to be the way God created them to be. We have the right life that we were meant to have. We'll be right with God. It's going to be a beautiful thing that God's people will be in a forever relationship with God as His bride. And the angel said there in verse 9, he said to me, write this. Write it down. Blessed are all those who are invited to the marriage supper, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he's added, these are the true words of God. I love truth. Love truth. Sometimes it's painful, but the truth about life, eternal, and forgiveness of sins and things, it's something to celebrate. He says, this is true. And he says to John, you write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage or wedding supper of the Lamb. When they had weddings back then, they had a big week-long, at least, banquet. I can't imagine how much that would cost a plate to feed people for a whole week. Wow. But the wedding supper Lamb is, you know, I've been to a lot of wedding receptions. And I must admit, I pig out sometimes. I'm the one that you don't want to see coming. When the Italian beef is put out, or the mozzarella, or when the pulled pork, or whatever, the wedding cake. Well, I've had some great wedding cake in my day. I'm a connoisseur. But he says, blessed are those who get an invite to this heavenly celebration. Have you got an invite? Have you been invited to go to heaven?
Amen.
Have any of you been invited
yes.
to go to heaven?
Yes.
Have you gotten an invite?
Yep.
Amen.
Here's the invitation right here in God's Word. It says you are invited to spend eternity with heaven.
Amen.
Here's the invite in my hand that says you are invited. Amen?
It is.
That you don't have to worry about death and falling prey to wickedness and evil in this world. You can be delivered and forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
You've been invited. Now that we were talking about this here recently about the save the date. I don't know how this discussion came up within the last few days at our house, which gives me hope. We're talking about save the date. It's going to pay off. Save the date. But then after the save the date, then finally comes about 6 weeks out, the wedding invitation. Real nice parchment, what have you. Mm-hmm. And on the bottom, often it says there's a little card that attaches and hopefully a stamped envelope already. So just so easy to, or maybe you can go online, it's even better. It says RSVP. Mm-hmm. RSVP. I was wondering what RSVP stands for. I could waste a lot of time worrying about silly things like this. So I looked it up. It's a French word that I mispronounced. I can't find it. It's répondez si vous plaît, something like that. If anybody knows French, you probably know how to correctly pronounce that. But répondez si vous plaît, something like that, means respond if you please. There's a great celebration in heaven. There's an invitation. You're blessed to receive that invitation. But what really makes that invitation so great is when you accept that invitation. Yes. If you please.
Yes.
Ain't nobody, isn't, there's not anybody forcing you to go to heaven. But you can, you know, the smoke of Babylon, the smoke of this old world's going to go up forever and ever. It's eternal punishment. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, He has given the invitation. He says, respond if you please. This is the true invitation of God. These are the words of God. And John was so overwhelmed, he fell down at the angel speaking. He began worshiping that angel. He said, oh, whoa, buddy. Whoa, John, don't worship me. I'm just a servant like you guys. I'm just a servant. Worship God. Now, I remember at the offering time, I said, worship means God is worth it. God is worth it. That's why we're here this morning, is because we are saying, God, you are worth it.
Amen.
You're worth it. We are banking everything on you. We trust in you. We trust in you with our lives and our families and ourselves. We trust in you. And he says, don't worship me. Worship God. He's the one that's worth it. Worship God, for it is the spirit of... worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. In this verse, you might not notice it, but it has God the Father, it has the Holy Spirit, it has Jesus. They're all saying, this is true. In eternity, this is true. The spirit of prophecy is God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he's, prophecy means to say ahead of time. For, to say ahead of time. And ahead of time, you know, if you ever watch Back to the Future 2, I think it is, Back to the Future 2, you remember Biff, as an old man, he somehow gets the, because Michael Fox has the sports almanac from 2000, whatever, and he goes back in time, and this guy, and so he's been making all these sure bets, and he's become a millionaire, a billionaire, because he's been all this stuff, because he knew the future. Of course, that's just total malarkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here's the real deal. The Spirit of God says, this is going to happen. Jesus says, this is going to happen. God says, this is going to happen.
Right.
The only question is, have you responded to this great wedding celebration?
Amen.
Are you going to be saying, whoa, whoa, I should have trusted in Jesus? Or are you going to be saying, hallelujah, let the party roll? You know? Are you going to be saying, hallelujah, the glory goes to God? Are you going to say, amen? Or is it going to be, oh me, suffering in hell forever? It's your choice. Respond if you please. Respond, if you please, by trusting your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is He number one in your life? If He's not, you need to turn your heart and life over to Him this morning. Make it personal. Make it real.
Amen.
Accept the invitation. As we stand singing our closing song, would you come? Respond, if you please. Respond, if you please.